The ego should be the servant of the divine. Our ego should be the servant. We have a lot of divine ideas, divine concepts in us. But what we do is the ego becomes the master of the divine instead of becoming the servant, and we let the ego decide how to live our life, and it may or may not be compatible with the divine principles that are in us. I recently heard a very beautiful story. So start with a story. Everybody likes story. So there were these two brothers who inherited a good amount of money from their parents, and so they were deciding what to do. And in that whole, they lived in a small town, a very small town, but in that area there was no hotel for many miles. So they said, you know, let's go into the hotel business. It's a great idea. So one brother says, I heard the Holiday Inn, you know, or Hyatt, you know, I heard that they are interested in building a franchise. So let's have a luxury big hotel, multi-story, with all modern amenities, and it will make a lot of money and very, very, very successful. It will do very well because we have all the backing and, you know, all the listings and the computer. Second brother says, yeah, that's true. But I have a different suggestion. What I'm suggesting is let's build a smaller hotel, but that is which is compatible with the community. You know, our community is older and there are older houses, and it's a very ancient architecture. So let's build something that fits in with our society, with our community. Maybe a smaller hotel, it may not make as much money, but our goal should be not to make money, but the goal should be hospitality. We are in the hospitality business. So a customer or a client who comes should be welcomed like he's coming to our house. So what do we want to do? Do we want to have a very profitable business, or do we want to make something where people feel welcome, where it fits with the neighborhood, where the neighbors also feel comfortable? So that is what, as you know, when we talk about the environment and all that, how are we going to live our life? Is it just for our own personal satisfaction, or something where the whole community benefits, everybody fits in, and people feel oneness? So that is what the message of the Bhagavad Gita. I thought this story fits so beautifully with that. And of course, if I ask everybody, they will all say the second one was better. But in life, it doesn't happen. You know, when we truly see in life, people always look for bottom line. You know, what am I going to make out of it? It doesn't matter what happens to the society and the community. So in the seventh chapter, Bhagavan has shifted channels. You know, suddenly the channel has shifted. Until now, the channels talked about me, this world. And suddenly Bhagavan says, okay, now I'll talk about me, the Lord, who is the Supreme. Because we know what is in the world, but who is the one that created the world? And how am I to reach and know that? That is being introduced in this beautiful chapter. And so last week we had heard the introduction of the seventh chapter, where Bhagavan says that I will give you the knowledge, jnanam, vijnanam, both. Not only the knowledge, but how to practically apply. Not only the spiritual knowledge, but how to, using that knowledge, reach the highest goal. Not only to see the effect, but to see the cause. And knowing which, there will be nothing more to be known. And that is, you can only attain this knowledge if you take refuge in me and come to me with humility. And then of course, Arjuna may ask that if this knowledge is so good, where there is nothing else to be known, why don't more people seek this knowledge? Why does not that many people want to read the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads or the scriptures? Bhagavan says, because we don't see a practical benefit of it. By knowing the Bhagavad Gita, what am I? Am I going to be more successful in my college? Am I going to be better, you know, get more money in my job? Am I going to get a promotion? But this knowledge is what helps us to grow, to evolve. And the example I heard was like, you know, people, there are so many people who graduate from high school in this country, but how many go to college? A small percentage. Most of them after high school, they take a job or take up a trade. And even among those who go to college, you know, a lot of them will go to the local college, the community college or the Cal States. And there are how many who apply to Stanford or Harvard? And even out of the thousands that apply, how many get selected? And even out of the ones that get selected, it's so interesting, even after having gone to such colleges, they then waste their time in, you know, computer or playing cards or ping pong or hanging out with friends. So the point is that in this world, to achieve success, it needs effort and sustained effort. What we have achieved so far in this world where we are is because of our prarabdha, of our past life. Because of that, we were born with the human birth, with our faculties intact in this country where we have all the benefits and comforts. And now it is up to us to put in the effort, to put in the purushartha. It's like we have been accepted to Harvard or Stanford, but what are we going to take from that opportunity? How are we going to grow and make ourselves better? So that is what the Bhagavad Gita teaches us, that this is what we have to do. So having done this, now Bhagwan continues to talk about his nature. And today we'll hear more about the Lord's lower and higher nature, apara and paravidya. It's a very, very beautiful verses, very powerful, and tell us everything about how the world was created and what is the world consisting of. So verse number 4, chapter 7, verse number 4. Bhumi rapo nalo vayuhu. Kham mano buddhi revacha. Ahankara iti yamme. Na prakriti rashtadha. Together. Bhumi rapo nalo vayuhu. Kham mano buddhir evacha. Ahankara iti yamme. Bhinna prakriti rashtadha. So bhinna prakriti rashtadha. So Bhagwan introduces this term called prakriti. And he says, my prakriti is ashtadha. It is of eightfold. My prakriti is eightfold, but this is, he's talking about his lower nature, the prakriti. So what are the eight constituents of this prakriti that Bhagwan will tell us? Bhumi, earth. Apa is water. Anala is fire. Vayu is air, and kham is space. So we know air, space, fire, water, earth. Then there are three others, mana, mind, buddhi, intellect, and ahankar or ego. So eight, five elements plus mind, intellect, and ego. These are my eightfold prakriti. So what is indicated by this? We'll read that. So eight, we just covered the eight number, but this, the Bhagavad Gita has some of its teachings based on Sankhyan philosophy. There was a famous Muni called Kapil Muni who gave us this Sankhyan philosophy, where he says that the entire creation consists of two, Prakriti and Purusha, what we call as matter and spirit. But in those teachings at that time, they said that they are both equally important. There is Prakriti and there is Purusha, and they both have independent existence. Prakriti is matter, spirit is independent, and when the two get together, then the creation happens. But as we know, Vedanta tells us that Prakriti, matter is dependent on Purusha. It's not independent. It is the life principle. Purusha is the life principle, the sentiency which gives life to Prakriti. And what is their relationship? We'll talk about it. So they are not independent, but they are, one is dependent on the other, and ultimately beyond both is the Supreme. That is just in brief. So now this eightfold Prakriti is always changing. It's constantly changing. As we know, anything in this world is changing. What something was new, it becomes old. Even the mountains are changing. The sun is slowly losing its energy over billions of years. So air, space, fire, water, earth are constantly changing. Our bodies are changing. We know that, slowly it is declining, and ultimately one day it will go to where we become non-existent. The mind also, emotions, constantly change. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes sad, sometimes I like somebody, I don't like somebody. Our intellect, our ideas constantly change. Is anybody new? I can go over this chart. Everybody is familiar with this chart? Okay. So our ideas are changing. Like previously, we used to believe the earth is flat. And then they came up, now the earth is round. And maybe in the future, physicists will find that the earth is not really fixed round, but it is something that is constantly pulsating, growing, changing. So we don't know so many things. So everything is constantly changing. They say, how about my ego? I don't change. No, we do. When I'm in the office with my boss, I am very different. And then when I come home with my spouse, I'm different. With my children, I'm different. With somebody who works under me, I'm different. So as we evolve or grow, we find that our ego changes. Some people become more egoistic, become more arrogant. Some people become humble from the teachings. So everything, all eight of these are constantly changing. And so the question is it evolving or is it going downward? That is the only choice we have. Same way our health, do we want to take it upward or do we want to take it downward? If we want to nourish our body, we eat healthy, we exercise. And same way, if we want emotionally to grow, we fill our heart with good emotions, good ideas. Intellectually, if we want to grow, read good books, interact with saints and good people and teachers. And ego also, the growth of the ego is actually when the ego becomes smaller. If the ego becomes bigger, then actually it is a reverse growth. So the growth of the ego is to take it downward and make it one. I heard a very, very beautiful example as I was preparing for this. So it says we say you have rented a car and you have a rental car which you are going to, or a leased car, and you're going to drive it for so many years. And you are given instruction, put the right kind of petrol and make sure you service it properly and, take good care of it. And then you are given limited amount of miles or limited amount of gas. Okay, this is how much you can use in the next 3 years. And then they are also giving you a chauffeur, and you tell the chauffeur where to go and how to take the car and what to do. And so similarly, this body of ours is a rental car, which has been given to us by the rental agency, the Lord, for a limited amount of time. Every one of us has been given this body for a limited time. It could be 50 years, 60, 70, 80. Ultimately, you have to return the car back. You can't drive it forever. And you are the owner of the car, and your intellect is the chauffeur, is the driver that drives the car. Now, we have two choices. I can drive the car to all useless places, gambling and drinking and just, waste my time here and there. And then the mileage has run out now. The time has ended and you have to now take the car back and you say, I wasted my time just going here and there. Or you can conserve the mileage you have, the gas you have, and take it in the right direction and instruct the intellect, take it in the direction of my spiritual growth. So at the end of that, you can go back to the Lord and say, here, Lord, here is your car. I took good care of it. I nourished it. And put the right kind of petrol in it. And now I'm bringing it back. That song, Meli Chadar Odke, Aise Main Jaun, the Lord gave me a clean white sheet and I ruined it. When I go back, now I say, how am I to show my face to my Lord, the Master? So this, I thought, was the most beautiful example of how we should conduct our life, what we should use our body for. So now these five elements, the air, space, fire, water, earth, are said to be the presiding deities of our sense organs. So we have ears, eyes, nose, skin, and tongue. So the presiding deity of the ear is space, because space, sound travels through space. So the presiding deity of our ear is space. Our eyes is the sun or fire, because we see forms, with the eyes. And what is the presiding deity of the skin is air, because we can feel the air. The presiding deity of taste is water, because water is that which gives taste to everything. If there is something very dry, you try to eat it, you don't get taste. Ladies know, you put water and you cook it, and that powder becomes tasty. The taste comes out because of the water. And earth is the presiding deity of smell, because when the earth is, especially after rain, you smell it, it smells so beautiful. So the five sense organs, eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue, have the five elements, which are the presiding deities. And what happens is, as we grow in our spiritual journey, as we grow, the masters tell us that you have to grow upward. You cannot always be attached to the lower. That's what this prakriti is called, the lower prakriti, Bhagwan says, because the lower prakriti consists of objects, emotions, and thoughts. And our body is attached to objects, the mind to our emotions, the intellect to thoughts. And majority of the people live their life attached to that. Let us eat more, drink more, have fun, enjoy life, meet with people, and just surf the intellect. How many people are there who are going upwards to Om, to the Lord? But what happens is that as you try to detach, the senses will complain. They say, no, come on, what are you doing? Come on, let's go have go for a party, or let's go have some drinks, or let's go have some food. Say, no, I have to get up in the morning and meditate, 5 o'clock. If ek din nahi karenge, kya ho jayega? That's our standard answer. If you don't do it for one day, what will happen? It's okay, not tomorrow, we'll do it day after. And so we postpone. We want to sit and study, and then some friend calls. And not that I'm not saying that anything wrong with parties or movies, or, but what happens is that, what is your priority in life? What am I going to do with my life? So we have to prioritize. And yes, there is room for having fun and playing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, what is my goal? What is my purpose in life? And that we have to never forget, because the Lord sent us, gave us this beautiful equipment of body, mind, and intellect for two purposes. One is to serve the world, and another one is to know that consciousness. So that is the sole purpose of human birth. Everything else is secondary, having children and getting married and having a job. Those are all good. Those are all necessary. But all of those should be done with the idea that any activity that I do, I should ask, is this activity going to help me grow spiritually or help me go down spiritually? And if it is going to help me grow, I should do it. If it is going to take me downward, then you say, namaste, thank you, I'm not interested. And initially, even your own body will tell you, this is very boring, you know, sitting and studying Bhagavad Gita, you are wasting your time. But as you go deeper into this knowledge, you will get so much joy, so beautiful, you know, as we study more, the joy of this knowledge, the joy of these experiences, the inner joy that we experience, all the masters tell us that ultimately the joy that you get from this, nothing in this universe can compare, even millions of times more than any joy. That's what they tell in the Taittiriya Upanishad, that the joy of the realized master. Also, what happens is that as we get attached to worldly things, we get more bound, we get more dependent, that I depend on this object for my happiness, I depend on this person for my happiness, I depend on this job and position. And as we have talked before, objects change, people change, positions change. Name and fame is there one day, it will go away, you know. So find the joy within, find comfort within. If joy outside is there, very good, nothing wrong. We are not saying that you have to have a boring or an unhappy life. If it is there, fine. If it is not there, I am still fine. That attitude one must develop. If everything is good, fine. If everything is not good, I am still fine. If this person smiles at me, I am fine. If this person doesn't smile, I am still fine. Why? Because I am that Atman, that Brahman. And I do not depend on people, situations, or things for my happiness. And then the last point I'll just talk in this particular verse, as just to cover the senses, when the information comes, it feeds it to the mind. The mind then presents to the intellect, which decides what to do. And the ego is the one that runs the whole ship. And the last point we'll talk about in this verse is Tanmatras. There is a very nice book in the office called Tattva Bodh. If you don't haven't read it, it gives you the fundamentals of Vedanta very clearly. And whatever concepts are given in all the Vedantic literature are explained very simply by the master Shankaracharya ji himself. And there they talk about how these elements, air, space, fire, water, earth, were in their unmanifest or rudimentary form, what is called as ungrossified, and how these five elements combined to make this whole universe. So, one part of space and four of the other, and then one of the other. So that's how it's explained. You have to have the chart. But how this whole universe came into being from the unmanifest. So the Tanmatras are the unmanifest, or the pre-space, pre-air, pre-fire, pre-water, pre-earth, before this became grossified, before this whole universe appeared. It was in the unmanifest form. That's how the creation came about. So it is the five elements which then combined to make this whole universe. And everything is made of these five elements. Even the table, the chair, even our body. Not only that, but even the mind and intellect are made of those same elements. And even all the universes, even the heavens, hells, everywhere, it is these five elements which constitute the universe. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us that that is my lower nature, my lower prakriti, apara. And now he will tell us about the higher, what is my higher nature and how we can know that. And what does the higher nature do? So that is in verse number 5.